Good morning, and welcome to Simply Science. It's Friday, April 5th. On today's show, the University of Illinois is increasing its focus on water and irrigation science, and we have an exclusive interview with Jack Lau, the Hong Konger leading Qatar Science and Technology Park. Plus, a lawmaker is pushing for more computer science courses. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Science. We start off with a dive into the realm of science, where there are many terms and concepts that are fundamental to understanding the world around us. Today, we're going to delve into some of these terms, particularly those related to weather and climate. Here with us is Michael, a correspondent for Simply Science. Let's start with the first term. When water evaporates from a surface, it takes away some heat, leaving the surface cooler. What is the lowest temperature to which a surface can be cooled by the evaporation of water from it called?
That would be the wet bulb temperature, David.
And what about the temperature that is defined in purely thermodynamic terms, used to assess whether an individual is psychologically comfortable in their thermal environment and is equal to the temperature reading on a thermometer that is exposed to air but shielded from direct sunlight?
That's referred to as the dry bulb temperature.
The amount of moisture the air can hold depends on the temperature. The warmer the air is, the more humid it can be. What is the name for the amount of moisture in air adjusted to the maximum amount it can hold at that temperature?
That's known as relative humidity.
And if you take some air at a given temperature, which is, say, 50% filled with moisture, cooling it to a certain point will automatically make it 100% filled with moisture. What is this point called?
That point is called the dew point.
In 1992, scientists came up with a measure that is typically used on a scale. Very low values on the scale indicate a level of solar radiation that can be good for the skin, but at higher values indicates a risk of sunburn, DNA damage, and cataracts. What is this measure?
That would be the ultraviolet index.
Finally, can you name the weather phenomenon where a band of cool water spreads from east to west across the equatorial Pacific Ocean?
That phenomenon is known as La Niña.
Thanks for the enlightening discussion, Michael. Speaking of scientific advancements, let's shift our focus to the University of Idaho, which is ramping up its research and outreach efforts to optimize the use of one of the state's most valuable natural resources, its water supply. The College of Agricultural and Life Sciences, or CALS, has recently made new hires to strengthen its team of water experts and is looking to fill additional positions to address critical issues in the water-constrained West. Here to discuss this further is Celeste, a correspondent for Simply Science. Can you tell us more about the university's efforts?
Certainly, David. Idaho has 3.4 million acres of irrigated cropland, and 86% of water withdrawn in the state is used for agricultural purposes. The state legislature and Governor Brad Little recently authorized the college to hire an irrigation extension specialist who will be based in southern Idaho. This specialist will educate growers, fieldmen, and students on the design and function of sustainable, data-driven irrigation and water management systems and practices.
What kind of impact has the previous extension irrigation specialist had on the irrigation system in Idaho?
Howard Nibling, the college's previous extension irrigation specialist who retired in March of 2022, helped innovate an irrigation system known as Low Elevation Sprinkler Application, or LESA. This system uses hoses on pivots to dangle spray nozzles beneath the crop canopy, reducing water drift and evaporation. The expectation is that the new hire will continue efforts to work towards irrigation efficiency and water use efficiency.
And what about the new hires? What roles will they play in this initiative?
CALS has hired Meetpal Kukul, an assistant professor of agricultural and biological engineering with Penn State University, as a new water modeler. Kukul will be based in Boise and will start work in August. The college has also hired Krista Howarth as a new assistant extension water educator based in Boise. Howarth will teach Project WET, a program that trains teachers to incorporate lessons in water into their curriculum. She will also facilitate the IDATE2O Master Water Stewards Program, which tasks volunteers with monitoring the water quality of streams and ponds.
What is the ultimate goal of these efforts?
The ultimate goal is to elevate the university's standing as a major contributor of water and irrigation science, bringing it closer to President Scott Green's goal of establishing U of I as the University of Water. The new hires will work together to create synergies between the extension irrigation piece and the research irrigation piece. Additionally, U of I is also searching for a new director for its Idaho Water Resources Research Institute, which conducts and directs research in support of the water needs of the state, region, and nation.
While the University of Idaho is making significant strides in water conservation, over in Qatar, there's a surprising development in their science and technology park. Hong Kong entrepreneur Ak Lau has been appointed as the president of the Qatar Science and Technology Park, or QSTP. This marks a significant milestone, as Lau is the first non-Qatari to lead the technology park since its establishment 2 decades ago. Here with us to discuss this development is Abby, a correspondent for Simply Science. Can you tell us more about this appointment and what it means for the QSTP?
Certainly, David. Lau, an adjunct professor at the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, was appointed to help the oil-rich emirate play a pivotal role as a hub of technology, innovation, and entrepreneurship in the region. Lau's appointment comes as a result of an extensive selection and interview process and is seen as a significant step in the park's evolution.
What does Lau bring to the table that made him the ideal choice for this role?
Lau has over 25 years of experience and a wealth of expertise spanning technology, academia, and entrepreneurship. He has a track record of leading sustainable ventures across various domains. He co-founded Perception Digital, an electronics design company focused on digital signal processors, and listed the firm on Hong Kong's GEM board in late 2009. The company moved to the main board in 2011. His experience and expertise make him a strong fit for the role.
What is the vision for the Qatar Science and Technology Park under Lau's leadership?
Lau envisions QSTP as a driving force for technological innovation, translating research in Qatar into commercial products and contributing to Qatar's aspirations of becoming a knowledge-based economy. Despite not being required to bring in Hong Kong or Chinese startups, at least 5 such companies have committed to establishing their research centers in the park, according to Lau.
What does this appointment mean for the relationship between Hong Kong, China, and Qatar?
This appointment comes at a time when officials in Hong Kong and Beijing are turning their focus to opportunities in the Middle East, amid economic diversification and technological development in the region. Lau's role could potentially strengthen ties between these regions and open up new avenues for collaboration.
What can we expect from the Qatar Science and Technology Park in the near future?
Lau anticipates more opportunities for startups to flourish under Qatar's National Vision 2030, which calls for a diversified economy that reduces dependence on hydrocarbon industries, investments in higher education and research, and fostering the private sector economy. QSTP is home to more than 40 multinational companies and nurtures a network of startups and emerging tech ventures. Its Tech Venture Fund provides support to global startups seeking to scale their operations in the region.
Thanks for the insights, Abby. Now let's shift our focus to Pennsylvania, where a significant gap in education policy is leaving thousands of computer science jobs unfilled. State Representative Rosemary Brown is taking steps to address this issue by proposing a bill that would require the state education department to develop a plan to increase access to computer science in Pennsylvania schools. Here to discuss this further is Bella, a correspondent for Simply Science. Bella, can you tell us more about this initiative?
Certainly, David. Representative Brown sees computer science as a fundamental part of everyday life and believes that exposure to it in school can lead more students to pursue a career in the field. She points out that Pennsylvania has an average of over 15,000 open jobs in the computer science field every month. Her proposed bill aims to ensure that students are exposed to computer science in the K-12 educational system, which she believes is essential in preparing them for some of the highest-paying, fastest-growing jobs in America.
What's the current state of computer science education in Pennsylvania?
In 2018, the State Board of Education endorsed the Computer Science Teachers Association's K-12 standards. These standards outline skills that students should know by the end of certain grade levels, but they don't require schools to offer computer science. The State Education Department expects there to be 590,000 new and replacement computer science jobs in Pennsylvania through 2026, with STEM jobs growing at more than 9%. Over the next 10 years, state officials expect 71% of new jobs to require computer science skills.
What does Representative Brown's plan entail?
Brown's plan includes social media security training, but the main focus is to enhance computer science courses in school districts across the state. She wants Pennsylvania's plan to serve as a roadmap to address policy and implementation issues to integrate computer science into school curriculums, including equitable access across school districts. Following the development and publishing of the plan, her legislation will ensure that every high school student in Pennsylvania has access to computer science as part of their school's curriculum.
How does Pennsylvania compare to other states in terms of computer science education?
According to Brown, 28 other states have developed statewide plans to increase access to computer science education. She wants Pennsylvania to follow suit and not leave these opportunities to chance, given the importance of computer science in the modern economy.
Our Simply Science reporter, Bella, has certainly given us a lot to think about with that report. And on that note, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Science. We'll see you back here tomorrow.